We've got an update. The FBI reveals a DNA confirmation on the Charlie Kirk assassination.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. It's Monday. We are back to work. Obviously, we're going to keep you updated on any new developments still coming out of the Charlie Kirk assassination, but we're also going to tell you some updates on some ACLJ cases and move on as well. Of course, this weekend, we also saw tributes pouring in from everyone from Coldplay and Metallica to mostly NFL games. I was at an NFL game. They did a tribute to Charlie Kirk. You had the level of like what we saw at the Tennessee Titans, which was an image, a moment of silence. Everyone took it very seriously.
Huge eruption. It was great.
The Jets put together an entire video montage.
The Yankees kind of kicked this off, really. Mm-hmm.
I think the Yankees kind of gave permission, is how it felt, to do this. And I'm very proud of America in many ways for doing that. And then we had a lot of prayer vigils that happened, including Christian celebrities and our Christian artists, a lot of other people coming out. To do this. That all happened over the weekend, including that incredibly powerful speech, which I think set the tone from Eric Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow. And it was, that was really one of those kind of, again, you want to say turning point moments where you kind of accepted the reality of what was happening around you and you felt there was someone strong on the other side.
I mean, I watched the speech twice, live.
It was
and then
unbelievable.
Sean played it again in his show. And I will tell you, I watched it with my wife and to see her poise, her strength, that was encouraging for me. I will tell you, of this weekend, that was my worst night of sleep, is because I kept thinking about her reality after stepping aside in that empty chair. And then I kind of said, you know what? She's got this team around her. She's posted the photos. She's got her head on her shoulders. She's... Of course, we'll need a time to grieve. Right now, she's kind of going 24/7.
Sure, in shock, yeah.
But what I think has been awesome is that there's been this just outpouring of support from regular people. I think what we call them is low. It's not like us, who would obviously do that anyways, because we're already involved. But just people who might look at like X but don't comment a lot, showing up at vigils, going to church, and then people totally outside Charlie Kirk's political spectrum or ours, like a Metallica, pledging financial support, like a Chris Martin.
Yeah, that one was, again, Chris Martin, who's come under heat with some of his Israel statements over the last, I think he knows that too, and he came out and he made a wonderful statement from London, which had, by the way, a giant, what you would call, I guess, a protest to help save their country, sort of their version of a MAGA event, kind of what would happen. Throughout the streets, and then later that evening, as Jordan said, Coldplay performed in Wembley, and they did a whole moment where he said, hey, we're going to send out love to everyone.
Yeah, and it's just like something on a screen for
and
two
he said
seconds.
Let's send out love to anyone who needs it, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. And immediately went to Charlie Kirk's family and then moved on to Ukraine Russians, Middle Easterners that are wanting peace. So kind of went through everyone who you would consider, some people would consider a good and bad guy, right? I guess you would
say send love to who you want to send love to, but he made sure to mention Charlie Kirk's
name.
Family.
So you got to give him credit where credit deserves. And I think that those
Paul
are some
McCartney also did it.
Yeah. A bunch of people put out statements and then, there's a lot of, I think a lot of people grew up with political violence and they see what it's like. And if you grew up, maybe even a little bit earlier, than us, specifically in the UK and in Ireland and everything that was happening in Northern Ireland as well. They went through it a little bit differently than we did. So I think there is that as well. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684, they made a statement before. I'll address that. 1-800-684-3110. I do want you to call in because there is the update. You may be tuning in because you saw the headline. And that is that there is DNA evidence now that is connected everyone assumes the shooter who has admitted to it with things found on the scene, including the towel and the weapons. We're going to talk about that coming up, all the details from those updates. And again, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And we're also going to, again, continue to update you on the ACLJ. Our movements here, look, some of this, we've got to start the process of moving on, moving to the next step here. And what does that look like for a future here in this movement? We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your phone calls. We have five lines open. Hey, look, I know a lot of you had a lot to think about this weekend, and I saw a lot of people putting in comments of what you were up to. Some people tried to get back to their normal lives. Some people had plans. And, you know, what does that look like in this world? And we've all kind of had to process this differently. And I think, like Jordan said, having statements like what came out from Erica Kirk, it helped that. It helped you process. You see the imagery. Helped you process the reality of it. You know, oddly enough, I went to see Hamilton, and there was sort of this weird moment of watching that and going, we're only 250 years removed from that, and really nothing has changed. Every 25 years or so, we're kind of reminded of this.
Yeah,
I feel like there's and now modern day things have changed, but a lot of things have not changed. There's still people being shot and killed for their beliefs and for freedom and for freedom of speech.
Yes.
This is what's happening in this country, and it's historically what's happened in this country. We have just lived in a little bit of a bubble because we have moved on to this sort of more civilized world.
When you go back to our founding fathers, they've always had this balance of freedom and liberty versus security, mm-hmm. and you have to balance that. And to have as much, the more freedom and liberty you have, the less security you have. And what I mean by security is that is, the state. And most Americans embrace that and say, I'd rather live with more freedom and liberty than more, government censorship and state. And that's very American.
Yeah, because what's happening in the UK. I think that is actually the opposite of that, which they said, hey, we're going to provide you with ultimate security. No weapons, on the streets, nothing like that. However, we're also going to police everything you say.
Everything. Words become the weapons. Right. And then you see the protests on the street.
Yeah, you have to then,
and listen,
of course, correct
again. We were both there recently. These protests needed to happen.
Yeah,
because the UK was going in a direction, not like in a U.S. way, but it was going in a direction that might not be one you could turn around very quickly if the just ordinary folks didn't get involved.
And I think we're seeing a massive course correction in the UK, including, by the way, from people, they've gone after them a little bit and said, I've seen people who were there. I met with those people. I hung out with them who were immigrants or second generation immigrants who came. And they are very proud Brits. They are very proud.
It's like English, new immigrants to the U.S. To
so it's not what they feel. They are actually on this other side. They were asking about, how do you guys work with Rumble?
Get away from those countries.
Right. So there is still that big group. And I think there is honestly, like a lot of the stuff with Charlie Kirk, there is a painted with a broad brush this, you know, whether it feels white supremacist or racist in general, and you start meeting these people. I mean, the people I met with the most about these kind of situations end up with were guys who were, you know, East West Indian families right. that moved there. Their parents had moved there.
There's some white guys from England.
No. And but they could not be more Brits. They could not be more in that. But they all watch.
To be like embracing it.
100%. And I think that you're going to see that a lot going on there. And I think that is very important.
That's why that we're here monitoring in America, that worldwide. We want to embrace free speech. What we're seeing at the ACLJ a lot right now, just for the like work update, a lot of freedom of speech cases coming through. And that's because people are now kind of worried about speech becoming something that leads to violence. So we're seeing it at workplaces, government offices, schools, universities, kind of all the different aspects of places you can imagine, public sidewalks. And again, I think that we are going to see it. The ACLJ, and this is very important why we exist, is this new war potentially on freedom of speech. Because how many campuses are going to be willing to bring back speakers like this? Now, I think it's awesome that Turning Point has got these huge numbers coming in of people that want to create campus right. events.
I was talking to someone who, this is what they do. They do, I guess you'd say, smaller, but not even that much smaller, version of what Charlie did yeah. on campuses. There's more Christian, more faith-based,
right.
Like exclusively, I'd say. And they are curious about whether the schools are going to proceed with the programming.
Yes, I know that there are also politicians who, understandably, again, too. Are rethinking events they're public attending, events. Not yeah. being in the public. They're always going to be in the public, but you know what I mean? Like the ones that aren't necessarily under their control. So here's why I think it's so important for ACLJ, for those of you who care about freedom of speech. We have to defend it at every moment, even in those toughest moments. And, you know, Erica Kirk was speaking to that. We'll play some of that later. Is that we can't recoil when this is kind of the moment they would say in season, say, see, this is why we need the censorship. This is why we need social media censorship. And I get some of the comments from the governor there saying, get off social media for a couple days, for a couple days. But we need robust freedom of speech in the United States of America, because that is what inspires these movements around the world who say, you know what, you can have a great country. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean there will not be violence. Doesn't mean we can protect everyone and everything because we have such greater liberty. And so I think, again, at the ACLJ, what you're going to see, and I'm already seeing it, this is just in days, an influx of freedom of speech cases.
Yep, absolutely. Will, I wanted to give an update as well, though, because obviously the headline a lot of people are reading if you're watching on YouTube or whatever it may be, was about the DNA evidence. And you brought up the fact that, yes, though this person did turn themselves in, they have now are no longer cooperative, have no longer or have not admitted anything.
That's right. So the suspect, the assassin, has not given a confession to the authorities, is not cooperating with authorities while at the jail in Utah, as well as we are getting transparent updates from the director of the FBI and the deputy director of the FBI. And I think this is very important. Because also what you've seen over the weekend is just a massive amounts of what would be called disinformation or conspiracy theories that are going on around there. And unfortunately, I think our country is predisposed to that because of political assassinations in the past. But now what you're seeing is already groups trying to say that this narrative isn't what it is, that this isn't the person. But Kash Patel this morning said that they have already confirmed DNA evidence on the towel the firearm was wrapped in with the perpetrator. So there is a link there. They also found a screwdriver that was left behind on top of the building that also contained his DNA evidence. And then we're also seeing that their investigation from the federal government side is obviously not over when it comes to the alleged assassin himself, but also whether or not there are any other ties, people yes. that had foreknowledge or helped plan something, because of we've heard about that Discord server where there was about 20 people that they were in chats together, and that there was some statements in that directly that made it seem like these other people were aware that he had at least threatened to do this. Now they are looking into whether he actually had co-conspirators or something, as well as others online that had posted things in advance and then had follow-ups to their posts that said, like, that's what I was talking about.
Jordan, I wanted to get your point of view on this because I think it's going to, talking about the internet, you're going to open up a big, big question of whether you can be a co-conspirator by someone who's just on a Discord message board, essentially, for those who don't know what that is, a kind of privatized message boards.
Do you have a duty to call the police? Report,
right? Yeah, well, because that is, because honestly, it will be, this Discord, is horrible to say.
So on Discord, here's one issue. Yeah. Do you know who the person is at all?
It depends. You can, or you may not. You may not.
Right. Maybe that I'd say is one. If you have no personal relationship with them, people post so many crazy things.
Like there's so many threats going around.
Now, if you're active on that and in communication with them, I think that could change things. So what we know is that that there are 7 different accounts that appear to indicate foreknowledge of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Now, those all could be from the same person. I mean, that's the thing. We don't know any. You know, you can create 7 accounts. That could be, some that kind of reference it, but aren't as direct. But what we're hearing is that there's 7 accounts. One actually referenced the date, and that happened more than a month before it took place. Now, a lot of these have been deleted, but the FBI's got them. You know, nothing ever really gets deleted from the internet. There's always the time back. What is it called? The time back?
Yeah, the way back machine.
Things like that.
Yeah, everything's archived.
Yes. So what I think, I mean, there were people who wrote things like, it would be funny if someone, I don't even want to read it, something like that happened to him on September 10th. So there was a lot of talk about this event in one of these chats. The FBI is going to go through every one of those individuals, and they're going to figure out which ones were just bloviating,
right,
which ones may have had communications with the individual shooter and any kind of personal relationship. Because as you said, Logan, I think and I think this is for free speech advocates also, and for many of you who use platforms, is it every time you see something that you think is a little bit over the top, do you have a legal duty to report it? As of now, no. If you have a personal relationship with someone that you know is about to potentially engage in an act of crime, your level of duty goes up.
And it becomes very hard because how many of your social media friends were celebrating this? How many people have you unfriended the last week? I would go on the record and say dozens at this point. People who have said something that I at least felt was enough to go, I don't need to know you.
I just haven't defriended them because I kind of want to see the evolution of the comments.
And there's some people that have gone far enough to where I said, I think this is the end part for us. But there are people that are saying stuff that goes, well, you're one step away. You're one step away from, you're accepting this as a positive. So then, are you not then also kind of becoming complicit in these acts?
It's more of these, we won't have guns.
And then that door opens up. Yes. So, all right, we'll be right back. We're going to take your calls. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. As we said, we will be taking your calls. We did want to talk some about ACLJ work, as, of course, we are still in remembrance of Charlie Kirk, who today's broadcast was hosted by J.D. Vance, Vice President of the United States. Again, a very unprecedented moment to have the Vice President of the United States take over and sit in for, obviously, the fallen Charlie Kirk. Pretty outstanding moment, if you will, and he has really stepped up, Jordan. That's something we've talked about, is that if you were curious if J.D. Vance was going to be the next person in line, of course, that was obviously all talked about as Vice President. You never know what can happen, but we are only a year and a half from that really becoming a real conversation. He has stepped up in a major way, he and his family.
Oh, I thought, first of all, his wife with Erica Kirk using Air Force Two to transport the body. The fact that the Vice President was holding the casket, I expect he will play a role in the funeral. Probably, I'm guessing there's probably two funerals here. One, this large celebration of life on the 21st, and one that will be more personal. But I think personal with people like the Vice President of the United States, if their calendars allow it. But you know what was awesome about what J.D. Vance did is that I don't know what his calendar was like that day, and he just said, clear it.
Yeah.
You know, I need my wife out here. I need my family out here. I need to comfort. This is someone who really actually was a big part of J.D. Vance 1 in Ohio, but also a big part of J.D. Vance being on the Vice President of the United States.
Well, they said also, you know, RFK spoke at the Kennedy Center last night and said, the person that brokered my, you'd say, relationship with Donald Trump
yes,
was Charlie Kirk.
I will tell you from friends I know in the corporate world, Charlie was a player more so than just in politics because of his unbelievable reach to young people who, as we all know, are the key demographic to every single corporate interest in America. And
the key demo.
They would a lot of times put aside his politics to use his genius at marketing towards that demo, which he was just now aging out of.
Yeah.
But really he grew up in. I mean, when I remember that Charlie Kirk as the teenager with the shaggy hair and coming through, and you look at the Charlie Kirk that came about really during, I'd say, when President Trump ran for the third time, the professionalism of Turning Point, turning that into, you know, a student group to basically the second most effective political Republican, they might want legal reasons, conservative group in the country. They were, you know, they had the faith aspect. We had worked with them before on some of these Facebook issues before and Twitter issues before social media issues before Musk, and really before also we saw with Facebook a big change on speech. I think more so than you know is because of people like Charlie Kirk, who had these massive followings on social media. And social media companies wanted to figure out how to work with them. And I think this weekend, people went back. They tried to find all this horrible rhetoric, and it wasn't there.
Yeah, I think that for a lot of people, you know, things were taken out of context.
Yeah.
A lot of it was very early on. Like I said, I was very much, as someone who agreed with him on a lot, disagreed with him on some. I said, you know, I really looked forward to 10 years from now. I looked forward to when he was a parent of a teenager, what that looked like, because I think you'd see a different tone, just like you saw a different tone the last 24 months. Now, social media-wise, I am curious this kind of, you know, puts a lot of people's perspective in place, as it should. Do you think this could change your Elon Musk and your Donald Trump relationship, those kind of things? I did kind of look at that and think,
they both
you know,
together
this could,
in very similar messages.
This could be a moment where they go, you know what? We got to stop this, you know,
infighting
because look what's happening. I would hope as a human being that this could lead to something more like that, because that missing piece
I don't think we know
how big that Elon piece really was.
I think there's three big things that are going to happen. One, I think almost a revival of faith.
For sure.
And I think that was newer to Charlie. And when I say newer, I don't mean like just the last 3 months, but he's had a long career for a young guy.
Yeah, Mark Driscoll posted that he had been in communication with him because he said, look, I didn't plan on being in this position.
Right, a faith.
And I need someone to help me.
Right.
And so he had people around him giving him theological advice because he didn't expect that to be what people were asking him.
Right, and then those issues all became kind of intertwined between faith, morality, politics, you know, good and wrong. And so I think that alone is huge. When you can bring more people to the faith of Christ, I mean, there's nothing bigger than that. Yeah. Second, I think Erica was right. I think that there were a lot of people woken up who said, you know what, let the activists be the ones. And now 32,000 people said, you know what, I want one of these on my campus. I mean, I think that went from, the number was something like 920 active groups. 32,000 people have called in about setting up a university or a high school group. I mean, that is, again, if you look back in history at political assassinations, those who were assassinated's message did not damper. It actually grew beyond measures that you could have even imagined when they were alive. And you look at Martin Luther King, and you look at these kind of major movements throughout. I look at, for instance, even JFK, who was trying to reel in the deep state. I mean, he would have been one of us.
The original.
Yeah. Yes. He was reeling in the CIA, reeling in Vietnam, you know, reeling in the military. And his message has lived long. I mean, you know, through decades. Malcolm X, these kind of leaders, it actually accelerated goals that they had that they thought were decades off.
Yeah, it made them immortalized.
Goals, the ideas that they had were almost immediately recognized. I mean, LBJ comes in and you get the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act. Doesn't mean things are perfect. And I think when it comes to Charlie, he wanted dialogue, of honest dialogue with kids he knew were being indoctrinated at mostly crazy liberal universities. And since the beginning of time, I will tell you, when you go to those kind of universities, which I did, you always are going to have those professors that are teaching you stuff that you're like, what is this even about? And you know, to get the grade, like many people say, you agree, you go along with it. Thankfully I went to a school like GW, which was more kind of teaching you about getting involved in politics and less about policy. But I will tell you what even is happening in high schools across the country. These kids needed a place to go ask questions because they were confused. Mm-hmm. You had your teachers telling you this. You had your pastor telling you this. Your parents, you probably were afraid to talk to your parents about some of this stuff. And it was inundating you to the point where if you felt like you disagreed, you were either by yourself or you were going to get a bad grade in the class or somehow be ostracized or canceled. Yeah. And so I think, again, there's major moments through this, but I think what we see is this interest in faith again is amazing. I think the interest in free speech and then the idea that this movement of speaking truth is not going anywhere. And we know that at the ACLJ because we've been fighting that for 35 years.
Yeah, we're going to keep that talking about that. We're going to also give you an update on ACLJ. I know we're getting a little backed up with this conversation, but how could we not? Phone lines are open, by the way. I really would love to hear from you. Thousands of you are watching right now. Give me a call. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As we head to the second half hour, look, if you're looking for a place and you want to know how you can help, ACLJ.org is a great place to go. A lot of great content there, and obviously you can make a donation and support, because we are not paid for by major sponsors, by corporate overlords, by anybody. We are fully independent media. We are fully independent legal work, all because of you at ACLJ.org. Do it today. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming right up in less than a minute.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Second half hour coming up. If you're just tuning in, of course, we are talking about a few big topics today, some ACLJ work, but also that there has been DNA evidence linking the presumed shooter to evidence found in the area, DNA evidence. So, of course, I think, Will, you brought this up, that this was like a towel that the gun was wrapped in, and it seems to match, because though we may have jumped to the assumption that the person turned himself in, therefore is the shooter, he is not cooperating and is not claiming any kind of admission of guilt.
That's right. According to the governor of Utah, he has not given a confession to the police, as well as not cooperating now that he is in custody. And so, yes, there was kind of that assumption maybe that if you're turning yourself in, that is some sort of admission.
Yeah.
But he has not necessarily gone on record with anything of that nature. So you can also deduce from that of turning yourself in, of I am the person in this video or something to that nature. But the FBI director did say that there was DNA evidence found on a towel that the firearm was wrapped in, as well as a screwdriver that was found on the roof from the perch where the attack was said to take place. So they are still investigating that. They are building their case, as the state will take this to trial against this individual. We should see some sort of preliminary hearing, I believe, tomorrow. It may be the latest, where the individual appears before the judge to face the charges. The charging document will have been submitted at that point, and will enter in a plea of some sort at that time. So that is progressing. We know that the federal government's also looking at some potential charges, sure, as well as not only those social media posts that we saw of people that they're looking at, but also any individuals that he may have been having private conversations with, and whether or not those were things of the nature of I'm going to do something, or if it was more of a coordinated what if you did something kind of relationship when it comes to these conversations.
Yes, I think I saw from the Department of Justice too, and that they are going to be, you know, looking at, again, it's, they're not trying to suppress speech and difficult speech and tough speech, but these are there efforts online that are public, that are easy to access, fortunately, that are encouraging violence against specific individuals on specific dates, and that if they are, that's a new place that they need to be focusing on, and not just taking that as, you know, people spouting off tough talk on social media. Most of the time it is that, but the 1% of the time it isn't, you end up with an event like this. And so, yes, I think liability, all these kind of things, we do have to discuss. Social media is not what it was 2 years ago. It's not what it was 6 months ago. And for me, I mean, this is just someone who's been in this world for such a long time and seen so many of these young people rise up. And he was probably the one I was watching as closely, because I could see him actually entering the political world, yeah, not just being in the activist world. And you know, you see this and you say, we have to be willing and able to be able to go and talk to people. That's what politics is about. Podcasts are great. Shows like this are great because we can do it. People can call in. But there is still something, if you're really going to be in the political world, about, you know, shaking the hand, seeing the person in person. That's very American. Anywhere there's really an actual, you know, democratic republic or democracy at work. And we have to feel safe at those events to an extent. They all have security. We saw what happened with President Trump. President Trump continued to do large events. I just think that Logan, what people saw was they got a little bit of behind the scenes of what it's like to be some of these individuals. And you realize, I heard Ben Shapiro talking and say, you know, he's had 24/7 security for 10 years. That's it impacts your privacy in your life when 24/7 security means
expensive.
It's not only is expensive, it means that there's a real threat on your life and your family's life because of what you say.
When we get back, we'll continue this discussion. And speaking of what you say, we're going to also dive in a bit on some of the work the ACLJ is doing right now, because it's a very important time. It's never been more important to defend free speech and religious liberties. You can be a part of the team at ACLJ.org. We'll tell you why when we get back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. I did want to keep talking about free speech, obviously, in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, but also talk about some of the work that we're doing here at the ACLJ, because that fight continues on. It's going to continue on. Look, we saw what happened in the UK over the weekend. And as I've said before, you can really look. I mean, yes, we kind of ping pong back and forth between the UK and who is influencing who. But remember that Brexit actually happened before President Trump was elected, 6 months or so before that happened. And when that moment happened, I remember turning to a friend and I said, oh, this is a game-changing moment here. Because if the UK is saying this and they are making this big, at the time, which you would consider a patriotic kind of moment, whether you agreed with Brexit or not, of course, when the UK separated itself from the European Union, it certainly felt like it led into what became a President Trump and the MAGA movement. Now you have a big uprising happening in the UK about the same time. Obviously, the Charlie Kirk situation happens that same week. But even before then, this was already planned, this big giant event, which then leads us into another free speech movement happening here in America. What does that look like and how the ACLJ is involved? And Will, we do have some updates on some current cases.
That's right. And as we talk about this as well, when you think about the response from Erica Kirk, who talked about things like my husband's name and legacy will not die and we will continue moving forward, it is such an important reminder at this point that he was trying to practice the First Amendment in the real world. He was getting out there, having civil discourse between people, and having that open conversation. And that is what we fight to protect every day here at the ACLJ. And a lot of it isn't things that you even would hear about making headlines, but individuals expressing their First Amendment rights, whether it's speaking out against abortion and the horrors there, or trying to be a sidewalk counselor, or whether it be a church and where they're allowed to meet. That is what we fight for, to protect that sacred First Amendment. And we have a new case. This one's out of Maine, where the attorney general there in Maine is going after an individual, filed a civil lawsuit, where is trying to basically allege that his activism on a public sidewalk could be potentially heard within a clinic, in a Planned Parenthood there.
Potentially.
potentially, and therefore violates the civil rights of those individuals within the clinic because of his activism on a public sidewalk. And so this is a statute under Maine Civil Rights Act that could have a civil violation of up to $5,000 penalty and could also expose him to a Class E crime there if they decide to take it further. But once again, we're seeing that across the country, whether it be from state governments, local governments, like we just had that victory in Chicago where people preaching the gospel were charged and we had to go to court to defend them multiple times, that the governments are trying to limit speech. They are trying to find ways to shield people from speech that they may disagree with. And that's exactly what we're seeing people react to across the country, is where people are trying to be shielded from opinions and voices they don't agree with. And so there are people like Charlie Kirk that went out and were practitioners of the First Amendment, yes, of spreading that speech and having robust conversation. At the ACLJ, our mission is to defend that speech, is to defend free speech across the country. And so, Jordan, I thought it was a time to highlight this new client that...
Yes, I mean, again, when you look at the... all of the ifs here. It penalizes if you're intentionally making noise that can be heard within a healthcare building. I mean, how do you prove that intentional note when you're not inside the building? You don't even know what kind of soundproofing they may have inside some of these quote-unquote abortion, I guess you call them healthcare buildings. The second is, you know, interfering with the safety and services, not if you're on the public sidewalk following the rules of that. But these penalties of up to $5,000 per incident and criminal prosecution. This, again, these are major attacks on the basics of freedom of speech. We're talking about on the sidewalk, places that are known to be free speech zones, which thankfully most of America is when you get it into the public. And again, I'm not saying that all kinds of speech is the same. There is speech that is not protected. And I want to make that clear. You can't say whatever you want and do whatever you want wherever you are. And courts are pretty clear about that. We've figured that out. This is a politically targeted attack on a type of speech. So, for instance, this is people, you know, who, again, if you're inside a doctor's office, they don't care about the 18-wheeler that goes by, and that could cause distraction. It's because this speech, you might know, is someone who is saying what you're doing is wrong. So it's not anything really about the noise. It's about what the words are, the viewpoint.
Right. And that's the thing. The ACLJ, we're always there for these clients. Like,
there's
that
noise
often,
restrictions, and then there's speech restrictions, and there's a difference.
Yeah, and the ACLJ is always on top of it because a lot of times, like you said, they'll use these nuances to go after basic freedom of speech claims, whether it's for your faith.
Think about it. Think about the road noise. Think about things you hear when you're in an office. You can't conflate those two or else speech goes away.
Well, and even that point there as well, the sidewalk preachers in Chicago, they were no louder than the traffic. As a matter of fact, it would have been almost even harder to hear them unless you were up close to them as you're walking.
But that was
what was so they're like, it's too loud. It's a public nuisance. When the traffic itself, the noise of a city, was louder than the individuals. And yet we're seeing it across the country. We're seeing it within private companies as well. We're seeing it everywhere. On this phone call this morning, we have a legal update at the beginning of every week that Jordan and I are on, as well as all the attorneys of the ACLJ, to hear about the cases and the work that we're taking. And we only are able to highlight a fraction of them, really. Yeah, but you're starting to see within the context of the debate that's really going on right now is that these are so many instances of speech trying to be shut down because it's disfavorable to the viewpoint that the government or the official deems appropriate.
What we're also seeing, and we're not ready to talk about this one yet, but I think maybe later in the week, is that speech, it's going to be, well, we disagree with your speech, so you'll also, not only will lose the speech right, but some other fundamental right. I mean, they are looking at that too. So not only are you going to lose your right to free speech, but because of the speech you were engaged in, you're also going to lose the right to this or this or that. And I mean, this is not, I am not just like making this up as a possibility or hypothetical. This is one we are actively looking into as of this morning when we were on that 10 o'clock call this morning talking about, and it shook me for a second. I stopped the call and I said, did you just say that if they're thinking about saying, well, if it's speech rights, they'd also take away this other fundamental constitutional right at the same time? And the answer is yes.
And what they're
and that is, again, Logan, that is what we are fighting here. People need to be able to speak to each other. I don't like the, you know, screaming. Sometimes speech is going to get intense, and that's very American. It doesn't mean that it ever has to turn violent.
But
we have to be able to talk to each other, and sometimes that means we're going to disagree.
And what your point to that as well, what the government in that situation is effectively saying is that the speech in and of itself was violence.
Right.
And that is what many members on the left have been pushing that narrative for a long time, that conservative speech is in and of itself violence. And that was the rationale in courts that they used in this particular jurisdiction that we will discuss later in the week. So just be on the lookout for that, folks, because it is something that was, you could tell, I could tell in your voice, Jordan, that it was shocking to hear what this case was, and we'll be getting into that.
As we head into the last segment, I want you to give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Can we play this clip? We got 2 minutes here. I think we can, right? Let's play a clip. This is from Erica Kirk. I think it's a good way to take us to break. If you feel inspired, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110.
The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They killed Charlie because he preached a message of patriotism, faith, and of God's merciful love. But they should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea. You have no idea what you just have unleashed across this entire country and this world. You have no idea. You have no idea the fire that you have ignited within this wife. The cries of this widow will echo around the world like a battle cry.
Phone lines, again, are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. This is the time to get on the air. We take all the calls we can over the next segment. And, of course, we are discussing still the updates here going on in the Charlie Kirk investigation, as well as work of the ACLJ, which continues on. Now, at this point, we have to also look at the cases that we're working on and how free speech and how this will hopefully motivate the next group of people who are willing to stand up for their faith and stand up for the freedoms they believe in. And with that, I encourage you to call in. Go 1-800-684-3110 or go to aclj.org. Get your comments in as well. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. This will be our last segment of the day, so if you want to call in, great time to do it. We do have a bunch of lines open. I know in these situations, you're not sure what you can say or what you can add to the conversation, but know that just calling in with your thoughts and your comments really does help spread the word. It helps tell people that they're not alone here and feeling a lot of these feelings. There's thousands of you that are watching right now, and we know that a lot of you are going to be tuning in later on as well, so I encourage you to stay up to date with what we're doing here at the ACLJ. You know, when over 500,000 people are just subscribed to our YouTube channel alone, it really is a big moment. So I encourage you to get involved as well.
I'd like to ask people too, they can put it in the chat and or they can give us a call. You still got time, 1-800-684-3110. Have you heard from younger people, like maybe it's your kids or your grandkids, about say this new interest in maybe I want to join this group or maybe I want to start one of these on my campus? If you have, give us a call, like, or put it in the chat, 1-800-684-3110, because the number was around 920, which was a lot when you look at the amount of colleges in the U.S., but 32,000 people with inquiries. I would imagine some of those are listeners and people who are watching the broadcast right now.
Well, that's right, Jordan. As a matter of fact, there were 900 official college chapters in only 1,200 high school chapters. So you're looking at, you know, just over 3,000 chapters at that point. Yeah. They said they had a presence of 3,500 total. Yeah. So there may have been some independent things that weren't official chapters. But they've received over 32,000 inquiries in the 48 hours post the assassination. So I assume that number is, one, larger now, and two, it just shows the impact of, and even I think we should play this bite from Erica Kirk in her speech that shows that it did seem to wake people up, the people that would not have normally been like, I'm not the person to go speak. I'm not the person to speak out, but I really enjoy seeing people like Charlie Kirk. This is what she had to say. Let's play bite three.
To everyone listening tonight across America, the movement my husband built will not die. It won't. I refuse to let that happen. It will not die. All of us will refuse to let that happen. No one will ever forget my husband's name, and I will make sure of it. It will become stronger, bolder, louder, and greater than ever. My husband's mission will not end, not even for a moment.
Again, that was from Erica Kirk, from a statement that was made, it was on Friday, I believe, Friday night. No one's really expecting it. Went live, by the way, a live video that, it wasn't something that was pre-recorded, live and unedited. And look, I think a lot of us could not have done that, could not have gotten through that. And, incredibly powerful moment. I sent it to so many people, my wife who was not in town this weekend. So I sent it to her. So many of us watched it in both, tears and in awe that you're able to be so strong in this moment.
It was kind of one of those moments. Yeah.
It was wild. I've never really quite seen anything like it. And you haven't watched it, I encourage you to go check it out, because it is just, it's really hard, again, to wrap your head around being able to do that and do it successfully.
Well, and part of Charlie's mission also was the boldness about not only his ideology, his politics, but as well his faith. And we had seen that even in years past, but I thought it was so powerful at the very beginning when they went live. She whispered a quiet prayer to start for strength and for Jesus to be in that room. And knowing how impactful, one, the strength she showed to do it live, to put that statement out, I could not fathom personally having that strength to be able to do that, but be willing to whisper that prayer, to put that forward, and to show, pointing all the focus still, which we've seen, which has been remarkable, is that the faith message that has gotten to so many, the gospel that has been shared in light of this, is a remarkable thing to see as well. And I think that that can be said, that she did so much for the kingdom of God as well as for the legacy of her husband in how she handled that.
Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Paul in Virginia, who's an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis. So, Paul, thank you so much for calling in today. Go ahead.
Hi, my comment is that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, he teaches that anger towards someone is akin to murder. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment. That's Matthew 5:21-22. So I'm just saying, you know, anyone who celebrates, that's hate. And Jesus says that's akin to murder.
Like, here's what we hope, Paul, is that people who had this sort of knee-jerk reaction to this moment hopefully look back on it with some form of shame and with apology and realize that they had been brainwashed, if you will, to believe that this was some sort of acceptable behavior and that they find Jesus themselves. I think that this is a big moment for that. I saw that in comments as well. But when there are people who said, well, I don't celebrate that he was murdered, but I also don't feel any sadness for it. It's like, well, then you need to check your own humanity. You need to check your own. I mean, who isn't sad about anyone losing their life, specifically those who had small children? Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or what you, especially if you just, or someone you disagreed with what they had to say. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you could disagree with everything Charlie Kirk had to say. He wasn't a monster. He wasn't someone committing some sort of heinous crimes that you look at and go, well, you know, they deserved it because they did this, 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 and this. No one's claiming that. This was a guy who was just known for his words. And if you disagree with his words, that is totally fine. But if you agree that somehow it is justified based on those words to be shot in cold blood, then you are you're part of the problem as well. And hopefully you seek some sort of redemption in your life. And my hope is that they do. My hope is that the shooter does. My hope is that everyone who is involved in this situation, everyone who has been celebrating, we'll do it as well. I know Jordan mentioned, they said the Emmys didn't really have any reference to it. I did want to say that. I saw a pre-show clip where they asked one of the hosts, they asked Nate Bargatze, who's the host, that, are you going to mention? He actually said, you know, this is one of the darkest weeks in America, and I think people are going to tune into the show, much like due to my comedy, to have a break. So we're going to give people a break. And you know, I don't know if a lot of people saw that or missed that, but clearly they wanted to answer that question ahead of time, because I think there would have been a moment of concern of how the audience would take it in that room when you have Javier Bardem with a red and green keffiyeh, and you have you know, all of these moments. And at the end of the day, you did have a show that was largely non-political. I think there was a couple references to the Palestinians, but other than that, there was not much going on. I think people read the room a little bit and said, you know what, we need to go out and just put on a show. And look, and there's some point, as we've been talking about, that will have to happen here as well, where we're going to have to move on. We're going to have to tell you about what's going on, not only with the ACLJ, but continue on with other news and other work, because that is the way the world moves forward. And I'm not saying that day is today or that day will be tomorrow. But as we start to come out of this horrible moment, we have to find that way to move forward. And that's probably true for the Kirk family. It's probably true for Turning Point. It's going to be true for us here at the ACLJ. We're all in mourning. We're all still in shock. But what does that next step look like? Because the work doesn't stop. Free speech doesn't go on pause. None of that happens. And of course, none of that happens without you supporting the work of the ACLJ. So I encourage you, go to aclj.org, be a part of the team, not just in donations, but look at the incredible content we provide you. No paywalls, all of it shareable. This is the time to share that kind of content with your friends and family. Get them involved, get them motivated, but also know that there are other like-minded people who are there supporting the feelings and emotions and facts that we do as well. Let's go do it for today's show. We again appreciate it so much. We'll be back tomorrow with more. And thank you all for commenting, for calling in, and being a part of the team.
Yeah, support the work of the ACLJ. I mean, freedom of speech is front and center right now, and the defense of freedom of speech is going to be front and center. So go to aclj.org, check out what we do, learn about what we do, and support us if you can.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org. www.theikies.org.